You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAB's coverage of Big Brother Australia VIP edition.
I'm your host Sarah Carradine, podcasting today from the unceded lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. And of course I couldn't do this without my VIC, my very important co-host Amy Chan. Hello Amy.
Hi, Sarah. I like my little acronym. That's very cute. I'm coming to you from Wiradjuri land, also unceded land, and I'm very excited to be talking to you today about Big Brother VIP Australia.
It's very exciting. I'm sort of on the edge of my seat a little bit. So in case you don't know us, Amy and I are part of the RHAP class of 2020. Amy, where have listeners heard you?
I was in the very, very long recap series where Rob went through every single season of Survivor.
Oh my God, you might have
heard me talking about season two, Australian Survivor in Australia, not Australian Survivor. And I've also done a couple of podcasts with Sham and Gus as well on the current day Australian Survivor. So you might have heard me around the traps through there. What about you, Sarah? I noticed you have been very active on RHAP lately. You're a bit of everywhere.
Around the traps kind of describes it perfectly. I was recapping Married at First Sight, and I just did a toe dip into the world of professional wrestling, about which I know nothing, but I managed to speak for 3.5 hours about it. So there you go. Also over on post-show recaps, doing a little bit of scripted TV with Bridgerton and Outer Banks season two. So, yeah, you would have heard Amy and I around the traps, and this is now our very own Down Under reality. So we're going to start Big Brother Australia VIP coverage.
Yeah, this is going to be a spoiler-free podcast. So if you are coming to this and concerned that you might find out things that have been printed in the media that you don't want to know about that will spoil evictions, don't worry. We're not going to mention any spoilers in this particular episode. Moving forward, it might be a little bit different. But for this first preview, we won't be mentioning any spoilers. So you can listen and not worry.
Yeah, awesome. I actually haven't read spoilers. I haven't sought them out. I think there are a few floating out there, but I think spoil is the absolute word because it does actually spoil your enjoyment of the season. Amy, I just thought let's have a look back briefly for people who aren't familiar with the history of Big Brother in Australia. It is a little bit different from the US, so it's worth sort of stopping down and thinking about how it all started and where it's all come and how it's all changed. There have been 13 seasons so far, and I think the other day you were saying to me you saw it as sort of phase one and phase two, and I think that's a very useful way of looking at it.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Big Brother phase one was very much considered to be like a science experiment in the way that the very first season of Survivor was. We were putting these people sort of in a giant mousetrap and just watching them and observing them, and that was all. There wasn't a lot of strategy involved. Players did all the voting for who was going to be nominated, and then the public voted them out. But it was very much a social experiment of watching, observing, watching shenanigans. There was not a lot of strategizing. And in fact, I think you reminded me earlier, Sarah, that the contestants weren't even allowed to talk about who they were going to nominate. So there was no collusion, no alliances, none of that. It was very much just watching young people trapped in a house. And that's certainly what I remember the most about Big Brother. So I'll be really curious to hear from you a bit more how the game has evolved in phase two. Because certainly for me, Big Brother has always just been about just watching. And that's the show you could watch without having to have a strategy brain on, having to count, you know, idols or amenities or anything like that. It was just people having fun doing silly things.
Yeah, you said young people, and I think there was not an enormous amount of diversity in those early seasons. And I remember the people nominated for, because they were annoyed with someone. There was no idea of alliances, definitely no strategy. And it wasn't broken up by all the wonderful challenges that we know now in Big Brother. So the house was on the Gold Coast, moved from Channel 10 to Channel 9, and then was axed finally in 2014. And that house on the Gold Coast fell into ruin and then burnt to the ground. So that put a punctuation on the end of what we're calling phase one. So we could say phase two really started with the picking up of the franchise by Channel 7. Now, Channel 7 has reality shows like The Voice, Australia's Got Talent, those kind of things. They really have a very vigorous roster of reality TV. And when they picked up the franchise, still made by the same production company, Endemol, they moved much more to the US format. So we see strategy, we see challenges, we see games, we see discussion of the nominations. And now in this phase, it is the players who vote to evict, which is sort of brand new for these last 2 years, 2020 and 2021. So the way, if you're looking to look at old seasons of Big Brother in Australia, because of the change between different channels, they're often referred to by the year of making rather than the season. So if we refer to the last two, they're Big Brother 2020 and Big Brother 2021, which is just wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be really exciting actually to see how this kind of phase two format then gets taken up by our VIPs, who I think will add another layer, typically because when you bring in celebrities / VIPs, they're very aware of cameras and after show publicity, I guess. And actually, that's something I wanted to bring up with you, Sarah. Why do you think this season might be called Big Brother VIP rather than Big Brother Celebrity?
I think that's a very good point, because while we are in phase two with the players or the housemates voting to evict, it is still a popular vote for the winner. That's something that's remained from phase one. So in both 2020 and 2021, it was a popular vote for a final three. And the celebrities, the VIPs, will be very aware not only of their own reputations in social media, but also of the fact that the public votes for a winner. Why is it VIP instead of celebrity? That's a very good question. I think the VIP idea has come from the notion that this is a stay at Big Brother's hotel. It's a new house, again, now the third house. The house for 2020 and 2021 was on Sydney's North Head, and I believe that the activity around the filming disturbed the wildlife. And we like our wildlife here in Australia, so as a new location has been chosen, a brand new house has been built that will be, the celebrities will be the first to inhabit. And it's a stay at Big Brother's hotel. So I wonder if that is a sort of a thematic choice of word, that they're VIPs rather than celebrities. I'm not absolutely sure, to be honest. What do you think?
I'm not sure. I wonder if it's... Yeah, I wonder if it's a little bit to do with a lot of the cast are sort of that new sort of style of celebrity, not the old Hollywood golden age of cinema style of how we know celebrities to be, but much more sort of Instagram influencer, social media sort of people. So I wonder if that is something to do with it, to differentiate between that kind of old school celebrity and then the new school people who are famous for being famous, really, more than for having done something else in their careers potentially first before being on reality TV or becoming an influencer.
I think that's very insightful because I'm thinking not, well, actually we do have some, a couple of sports people, but when gold medalists and sports people come onto these reality shows, they're not celebrities in the old style, and yet they have fame of a sort. So perhaps VIP is chosen for that reason. One of our house guests is only known because of their relationship with another person who's very famous. So perhaps VIP is quite carefully chosen in that way.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Before we go too much into the weeds about all the different VIPs, I thought it might be good for us to just have a quick chat about our personal relationships with the Big Brother franchise and where we are with it, what we've watched in the past, and maybe do just a little quick hark back. We were talking about offline about some of our favourite characters from past seasons. Just have a quick little retrospective. What do you think about that?
Oh, great idea. I go right back to 2001. What about you?
Yeah, I'm the same. And I have to say up front, I am far from a Big Brother expert. I probably haven't watched since season 3. So I have really strong memories of the first 3 seasons and haven't picked it up again since. So I'm going to rely on you to give me all your expert background on how the show has changed. But I'm also really excited to see how it's different from the way I remember it.
And what do you remember? What are your memories?
I have really strong memories of people like Sarah Marie, who did the bunny bum dance, which I guess was the first time we'd ever had anything like twerking in Australia before. Season 2, where we had Peter won and Marty was the runner-up, and both of those guys exited the house sort of in romantic relationships. Marty ended up marrying Jess, and Turkin had a bit of an affair with Peter. And I can remember at that time I was a young lawyer working in a community legal centre, and she actually broke the internet with the Big Brother Uncut episode, Turkin and Peter. And then season 3, of course, won by Reggie Bird, who ran the fish and chip shop. And from here is where we sort of probably got the biggest early phase 1 Big Brother personality in Chrissy Swan, who, of course, now is a very famous person on primetime radio and television. So that's kind of the era that I really remember, those first 3 seasons. Gretel Colleen was the host, very big part of the show. She ended up dating Saxon, who was one of the contestants from season 3. And that was really in the very, very early days of reality TV, where reality TV was literal, put a camera, film, air it, that's it. What about you? What are some of your memories?
Well, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. We didn't have people who were famous just for being on television. People that we knew, celebrities, famous people, had a talent. If they were on television, their talent was filmed. So they were singers or dancers or actors or commentators. But these people in the house were just there and we watched them. And it was quite a revolution, I think. Survivors starting, so we're seeing that happening. It's a new world on television. It's hard to, perhaps for people who weren't there at the time to think there was a time before that. I remember Sarah Marie absolutely. She, of the bunny ears, she was continually nominated by the housemates, you know, remembering that the housemates nominated and the public voted. And because the public absolutely adored her, they would not vote to evict her. And I remember her once just begging, oh, guys, give me a week off from the nominations. And we all wanted to embrace her and say, it's all right, love, we're not going to vote you out. And conversely, that first year, someone that I knew from the gym that I then attended, he was one of the trainers there, the beginning of a very long line of personal trainers being in these shows. He was universally disliked by the public. He was seen to be sneaky because he code switched. He showed a different face to different people. He showed a different face in the diary room. So we all knew he was terribly sneaky, but the housemates never nominated him because he was so charming and nice. And when he was finally nominated, he got a sort of whopping percentage of the votes, like 90% or something like that. People had been longing for him to be nominated. So I remember that sort of excitement. I was speaking to some friends of my sort of vintage, what their memories were. They were saying, yes, didn't we call? And then we had to vote, and thinking about, you know, how to spend our voting phone call money wisely. So it was a very different feel to it. I sort of dropped off a bit later than you, perhaps. I was drawn back in by Big Brother US and indeed Big Brother Canada. And the latest two seasons in Canada and in the US have been really exciting, super strategic, really well cast. And of course, the historic cookout alliance in Big Brother 23 that has seen the first black winner of Big Brother, which just sort of is mind-blowing. I hadn't realised that there hadn't been a black winner in 22 seasons. So a bit of a revolution happening there, bringing that discussion to the forefront. So I'm excited now to see this more strategic and competition-based Big Brother that we've had in 2020 and 2021 as played by our VIPs. I'm the expert on this panel, but compared to some of our fellow podcasters on RHAP, hardly an expert at all.
Well, it's interesting you talk about diversity, because you mentioned diversity earlier on in this episode, and I think that is something that I've really noticed about this current VIP cast. Unfortunately, not a lot of diversity, particularly when it comes to race, and even we don't even have an even gender split. So that's an unfortunate thing that we haven't seen much of an evolution of. But I feel like Big Brother Australia is sort of on the cusp of finding its proper identity in this phase too. I have heard a rumour that what people are calling online as the golden age of Australian Big Brother, which was that early season 1 to maybe 6, is people are sort of wanting that. So I have heard a rumour that there will be Big Brother Back to the Future coming in 2022, which will be an all-stars version that will include Reggie Bird, who was the fish and chip shop owner who won season 3 and was rumoured to be coming back into the VIP house. She is not in this VIP cast, but it seems like there is certainly a generation of people like us who can remember those early seasons. And so there's a bit of a push-pull between the new format but also wanting to see those old faces that we remember from the early 2000s.
Oh, that is such good news. I love that idea, I have to say. In terms of diversity, racial diversity, 2021 was fairly diverse. The gender split generally is 50-50, with the VIP seasons, Celebrity Big Brother in the US, and the VIP season here is not always 50-50. And somehow, strangely, just by chance, the imbalance is always that the majority is men. I don't know how that happens. I couldn't possibly comment.
I think I have some idea, but let's do that for another podcast.
That's another podcast. Shall we get to the VIPs?
Yes, absolutely. Well, maybe we should do a bit of background about the show, what we know about the show in general first. So when it's going to air, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
So the show will premiere on Monday of next week. And, of course, I've written next week in my notes, but I've got no idea what the date is.
It's the 1st of November. Can I?
1st of November. So that'll be on Channel 7 at 7:30. We do not have a broadcast schedule yet. Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, I have looked high and low for a broadcast schedule. It's a 22-day game, or indeed a 22-day holiday in the hotel. I would think that would mean around 20 episodes. So probably 3 to 4 weeks of 4 to 5 episodes a week would be my guess, based on what we've seen with Big Brother Civilian on this Channel 7 sort of phase two, as we're calling it. Just so people know, it is already in the bag, so pre-recorded, as indeed were Big Brother 2020 and Big Brother 2021 for our new listeners. It was not a live show, even in the civilian version, and we haven't had live feeds, which was used to be called Big Brother Up Late, for a very long time, since a very scandalous exposure by a male housemate, and we'll just leave it there. And suddenly, no more live feeds ever again.
The current season is now being hosted by Sonia Kruger. So, for people who are living overseas, not in Australia, Sonia Kruger is a very well known Australian host. She also hosts The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, Love Island. So, she's very well known, very popular. Magazine face and person on Australian TV. And the way celebrity formats typically work in Australia is the celebrities may or may not get paid an appearance fee, and we can talk about that with some of the individual VIPs later, but the winner is essentially playing for $100,000 for their nominated charity. And I don't think we know what any of the nominated charities are yet. Would that be right, Sarah?
Yes, that's right. I feel very strongly we'll get that at the premiere. We'll get an introduction of each VIP and they will introduce their charity. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm a great admirer of Sonia Kruger for a start. Sonia, 56. I don't know if you want to keep that a secret, but it is all over the internet. It's very nice to see an older woman on television. She's very glamorous. She comes from a dance background. I first knew her as Tina Sparkle in Baz Luhrmann's Strictly Ballroom, and she was actually the ballroom advisor on that film. It's her only acting role, and she was fantastic, and that's why her involvement with Dancing with the Stars makes absolute sense. No, I'm a great Sonia stan, and I look forward to her sort of dry, glamorous hoarder that I just find her very attractive.
I believe she even had a baby when she was 50. Is that right?
Oh, you're ahead of me there. I'm a stan with not much knowledge. We'll update you on Sonia's babies next week in a section we'll call
the hard facts. That's what I'm here for. Oh,
this is why we can work very well together. This is why it's a good alliance, you and I. I can have the flights of fancy. You can bring me back to earth with facts. It's going to be interesting to see the charity. Now, we have 3 Americans, 7 men and 5 women in our VIP cast. Australian reality shows love intruders. We put intruders on our Bachelor, Bachelorette season. We put intruders on even our Amazing Race season. So far, we've never put intruders on our Survivor season, but I daren't even say that out loud in case somebody decides it's a good idea. And the Big Brother seasons in phase two have all had intruders. So I'm thinking there won't be intruders here because Channel 7 would, of course, like to advertise all its VIPs all at once for the most coverage.
Well, it was also filmed in July and August, and anyone who hasn't been following international news, Australia has been in a series of hard lockdowns in between states. So this was all filmed in Homebush in Sydney at the old Olympic Park. So anyone who was not from New South Wales would have had to quarantine, which I have a feeling might be why we're going with the Big Brother hotel theme. So I would imagine juggling intruders during this time would also have been difficult, because anyone coming from overseas or even interstate within the country would have had to manage a whole quarantine issue. So it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't have any intruders because of just the logistics of that.
Yes, apart from anything else. Now, there was a VIP announced who will not be on the cast. Do you want to talk about that person?
Sure. Overall, I have to say all the international VIPs who are coming have caused quite a lot of controversy, and there has been a fair amount of backlash on social media and from the general public about them. But the one that got the most backlash was Katie Hopkins. Katie Hopkins is a far-right political commentator from England. She was the runner-up on Celebrity Big Brother UK in 2015. So when she arrived in Australia, she arrived at a time when Australians have not been allowed to come home. Those who were overseas or on holidays or living internationally have not been allowed to come home for more than a year because of our strict quarantine rules due to COVID. The government somehow granted an exemption for Katie Hopkins to come to be on the show, and there was a huge backlash about this. She's really well known for her very unapologetic racist comments about migrants, Muslims, the Holocaust, and while she was doing her two-week hotel quarantine, she posted videos on social media where she was essentially boasting about flouting the regulations, ridiculing the quarantine, and essentially sticking her nose up at the Australian government. Because of this kind of environment we're in, where people are stranded overseas, they can't get home, and celebrities with these kind of controversial views are being allowed in for a television show, there was such a backlash that there was a petition signed by over 30,000 people, and the Australian government revoked her visa. She was fined $1,000 and she was deported back to the UK. Interestingly, the Herald Sun reports that she was still paid her full $200,000 appearance fee, but she will not be appearing on the show.
Yes, you can't say I am flouting the rules, and you can't film yourself opening the door to your food deliverer with no clothes on. It's not really the clothes that are the issue, it's the fact that you're not wearing a mask. One of our other celebrities also was, I don't know if she was fined, but she was certainly cautioned due to her slight nose up at the quarantine rules, but she has stayed and she will be in the house. And I'll say that when we get to her, I'll say. It's very interesting, actually, overseas people, in this case three Americans, being on reality shows. Australians do have a funny thing about non-Australians being on their reality shows. Spoiler, there was an American on a recent Survivor, Australian Survivor, who didn't last very long, potentially because of he himself, but also potentially because the Australian contestants may have thought, no, we want an Australian to win. So I wonder how our Americans are going to go in this reality show.
Yeah, I think particularly Americans who do well and earn enough infamy overseas to then want to come to Australia don't typically do well, simply because of there's a cultural clash almost. In Australia, we have this tall poppy syndrome, so we don't like it if you think you're bigger than we think you are. If you boast about yourself, if you put yourself forward, that doesn't seem to fly very well. And I think the idea of somebody international winning money that could have gone to an Australian also doesn't tend to go very well. And unfortunately, that means that particularly US contestants who come here, they're very in your face, they're very loud, they're very noisy, they are very confident, all of which makes fantastic reality TV in the US, is not necessarily well received by Australian contestants that are in the cast. So hard to see, particularly with the three Americans that we have, who are very, very, very controversial and very noisy and not afraid to have an opinion. Hard to see how well that's going to go down with some of the other very big personalities in the VIP house, but we'll see.
Bit of a culture clash, perhaps. I mean, I love Americans, but there is a confidence that is read as arrogance by Australians. That's a great generalisation, but it is what can happen. Shall we get started with our contestants?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to run through these in alphabetical order. So the first one is Imogen Anthony. Now, if you've never heard of her before, she is a fashion designer, she's a model, But what she's most famous for is being the ex-girlfriend of Kyle Sandilands, who is a shock jock here on Australian radio. I wasn't able to find out too much more about her, Sarah. Do you know a little bit more about Imogen than me?
Well, it's interesting. I went down a little bit of an influencer rabbit hole because we have two influencers in the cast. And I spoke to someone who's fairly high up in fashion retail to ask what is the relationship between brands and influencers, and also what are the laws? There are Australian laws regarding an influencer's posts on social media, which I found fascinating. I won't go into every single little detail, but it is possible to make a living as an influencer. I mean, I know we all have thoughts about influencers, but it is possible to make a living as one. They receive money to post, they receive gifts and items from the brand to promote, and then their posts can also then be cross-promoted and there's a further payment. With Imogen, it's very hard to see. She has 182,000 followers on Instagram, and her posts are not appropriately hashtagged according to the laws for social media for sponsored content. So I'm not sure which brands are backing her, what sponsors. She doesn't have an enormous amount of sponsored content. I did go down another little rabbit hole, a Kyle Sandilands rabbit hole. He makes between $7 and $8 million a year. And he has said, on the record, it's important to make sure my former partners are taken care of financially. So I imagine that Imogen has some sort of backing, support, whether it be financial, emotional or material from Kyle. And why not? Good luck to her. She is a PETA ambassador, which I like. It'd be very interesting to see if she eats animals. We will find out when we're in the house.
Yeah, she was with him for a long time, I think nearly 10 years. So essentially she was, you know, his partner. So I think it's probably safe to say that he is likely to be providing some sort of support, or even just that connection would help her out financially in terms of getting work and building her reputation and things like that while she's out on her own.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Now, what about Dane Beams, who's 31? He was an AFL captain, and he has 68,400 followers on Instagram. What can you tell us about Dane?
Now, I do not know a lot about football. I will tell you that right now. I can tell you he used to play for Collingwood, the Magpies, and he was captain of the Brisbane Lions in 2017 to 2018. He eventually stepped down from being the captain after the death of his father and sadly had to retire in 2020 due to mental health issues. But one little fun fact I found was that he was born in Yarrawonga, which is quite close to where I live now, but he grew up in Queensland, so I think he identifies as a Queenslander. Can't tell you much more about him on top of that.
Yes, two commentators, you and I, who know very little about football, and we do have two sports people. So we'll see how we go. We may learn more or be told more by our listeners. Please tell us all about the AFL.
Or please don't.
Yes. Now, Josh Carroll is 31. He is a model. Now, he's another influencer, but it was on his Instagram, he has 455,000 followers, that I found the appropriate hashtags for sponsored content, which, if you're interested, it's hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored. So if you see either of those on an Instagram post and a brand is mentioned in the post, that means it'll be either paid content or there'll be a gift that was given to the influencer. Josh is good looking. What can I say? He's a model. He's good looking. He seems very self-assured. He seems to have that sort of Aussie slight larrikin humour, which is very attractive. I think he'll do well in the house because of that. His brands are sort of mid-range brands like Cotton On, Jag, Ralph Lauren fragrances. He did a little Target ad. And I did notice he did a recent Far Cry video game sponsored content that had a reach of over 10,000 interactions. So he's doing this influencer model thing right, and he just got a first cover in a men's fitness magazine that he was very pleased about because it was for a company that he used to be the receptionist for. So again, there's that sort of self-deprecating humor that we might see from Josh.
Yeah, he is very easy on the eye. I did read somewhere that he is one of the influencers who is attributed with managing to do the mouth slightly open and still look hot look.
I'll have to look for that. Rather than looking what my mother would have said called gormless.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Not too many duck lip pouting shots from him. So our next person is the other footballer, Matt Cooper. He was an NRL superstar, Channel 7 tells me. So he used to play for St George Illawarra Dragons, including playing with them in the grand final in 2010. He's also played for New South Wales in the State of Origin, which is the, I believe, is the famous series where New South Wales always plays Queensland. Is that right?
I think so. Yes. Don't add us.
Represented. Yeah, that's right. We've made a disclaimer. We don't know about football. And he represented Australia in the Rugby League World Cup. He's done a little bit of reality TV before, having appeared on Dancing with the Stars and also Celebrity Apprentice Australia.
Yes, the Celebrity Apprentice Australia, the latest one, was really good.
it was
really good. Yes, for those who don't know, Lord Sugar is the big boss, and he's a fantastic foil for the Australians. And I believe another series is being filmed right now. So that's something to look forward to. Now, Bernard
Curry, if you are a Survivor fan. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. That's okay. No.
Celebrity Apprentice Australia also did feature the Australian All-Stars winner, David, the Golden God, and Janine from Boost Juice. So there was a bit of a Survivor crossover that happened there. So well worth looking up if you are keen on The Apprentice.
Yes, Janine was one of Lord Sugar's helpers, and I believe she's back again for the next series. She's fantastic. If you like David Janine, you should watch Celebrity Apprentice for the zero fucks given by Lord Sugar for David's charm. It's the charm offensive meeting the completely unaffected Lord Sugar, and it is an absolute joy to watch.
And there's actually a moment where David and Janine sort of try to work each other's previous Survivor relationship to their advantage, and that has a very interesting outcome. So I thought it was very fascinating to see how trying to lift a copy and paste, essentially, strategy from Survivor into a different reality TV format may or may not work well for you.
Well said.
So then we're looking at Bernard Curry, who is an actor. That surname Curry might sound familiar because he is the brother of Stephen Curry, who is a very well-known and well-established Australian actor. Bernard is also doing well for himself. He's been on the Australian soapy stalwarts, Home and Away, and Neighbours. He's currently starring in Wentworth, which I think is in its final season, and he has been host of Beauty and the Geek Australia. He's 49 years old, and he's an ambassador for mental health, particularly for men, and he's a mad Richmond AFL supporter. Have you got anything else, Sarah?
Oh, just he has 17,000 followers on Instagram. So one of the ones with perhaps the lowest number of followers. He may get more from this. He may not. He's what you would call, and this is a very positive thing, he's a jobbing actor. He's been working since he was 21 on Neighbours. He did 171 episodes, and he did 426 episodes of Home and Away. So there is a group, let's say, of actors who are able to work in Australian television, who can work very well. They're very skilled. He will certainly know his camera angles. How he will go with strategy, Unsure. And I would also say that on reality television competition shows, actors are sometimes viewed suspiciously by people who aren't actors, because people who aren't actors think that actors act all the time, which of course they don't, because they're not at work. But that'll be interesting. I'll be very interested to see how he goes. But again, that sort of laid-back charm is going to get him certainly some of the way.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. You can't get really a sense of his personality from social media, but he seems to be one of the most normal people in the VIP house, in the sense that he's not someone who's been chasing reality TV or really chasing, you know, that influencer lifestyle. He seems like, really, like you say, just an average jobbing actor, which is great. So it'll be interesting to see how he holds up. There's some really big personalities in amongst the VIPs.
Then we have Danny Hayes. Now, Danny Hayes knows about Big Brother because Danny Hayes was on Big Brother 2021.
Yeah, he was hilarious. I did not watch Big Brother 2021 except for the first episode, which I just watched the other day for this podcast, and Danny stood out immediately. I did not even have to check the name to know that he was the person who was coming back for the VIP season. If you don't remember, he was a real estate agent from Geelong. He's in his late 40s, I think about to turn 50 soon, and he's incredibly eccentric. He lives a very flamboyant lifestyle with Ferraris and high-flying travel and plenty of cosmetic surgery. He was one of the first three players to enter the Big Brother house last time, and in that first episode, he was offered a challenge to escape from the house on the first night into the safe bunker so that he would be safe and couldn't be nominated. He, I take it, has sort of ends up being portrayed as the villain of the season because he's the one who really leans into strategy. So, for instance, in that first episode, Sonia offers him the option to not vote so that nobody goes home, or to vote, and he chooses to vote, much to the disappointment of all the other castmates. He's got that real Joe Pesci sort of energy, sort of very manic, talks very fast, constantly moving hands, something slightly dodgy about him, and yet incredibly lovable and hilarious at the same time. So I think he's going to make for excellent TV viewing.
He was an absolute standout. He is made for reality television. I think he made himself for reality television, as well as the cosmetic surgeries. He's had hair transplants. I love the license plate of his Ferrari. It's YR10, in other words, year 10. And the reason that he has that is because he left school in year 10. Year 10, and he owns a Ferrari, and I think that's how he sees himself. He's very balled out, if I could say that, and I think if anyone is going to harness the confidence of the Americans, I think it's going to be Danny.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's quite a strategist, so I think he will also be very clever at figuring out, as you say, how to use big personalities, align himself with them, but hide behind them and sort of use them as social meat shields, I think, to get himself further in the game. So I think he's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, we won't spoil Big Brother 2021, but if you like Danny, you will get to see a lot of him if you watch that season.
Fantastic. Now, I think we've missed somebody. We skipped over Ellie Gonsalves. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, because I didn't put her in the correct alphabetical order. I put her after Danny. Yes, let's talk about Ellie.
Okay, sure, no problem. So she has a massive 1.2 million Instagram followers. So if you are an Instagram user, frequent flyer, you will know who she is. She is a model who's worked with brands like Guess, L'Oreal, and her most famous piece of work, I guess, is a Yellowtail Super Bowl ad where she played the girl in the white bikini who pats the kangaroo on the beach. She's also appeared in a movie called Fighting With My Family, which starred The Rock and Florence Pugh. Florence Pugh's famously Black Widow's sister. And she also appeared in Filthy Rich and Homeless, which is another reality TV series series here, it's a bit more documentary style. And what that show is about is getting people who are celebrities to go and live on the streets as if they're homeless. All their stuff is taken away from them, all their money, and they're just left to fend for themselves as a homeless person so that they can understand what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes. Also compelling TV if you're into that sort of thing. She's a global ambassador for Australia Zoo's Wildlife Warriors. Australia Zoo was famously the home of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, and she is originally from Brisbane.
I really like Ellie. I think she's super smart. I think she's really interesting. And she has that huge Instagram following, second only to the next VIP that we're going to talk about, which is Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner, the Olympic medalist, biological candidate with 11.8 million Instagram followers last time I looked.
If you don't know who Caitlyn Jenner is, you have been hiding on some sort, under some sort of rock somewhere for the last 10 years. But Caitlyn is essentially the former husband of Kris Kardashian, so formerly known as Bruce Jenner. As you said, Sarah, really, really well-known decathlon Olympian in the US, now running for the Californian governorship. But I think in Australia, most well-known as, number one, the Kardashian stepdad, but also dad of Kylie and Kendall, and then secondly, as transgender. So Caitlyn, I think, has been a really fascinating TV figure. Years ago when I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Caitlyn was Bruce, he was kind of the dodo of the show. You know, we'd always get that kind of dodo music. He would be in the background playing with his remote control mini helicopters, pottering around in his room while all the sort of serious stuff was happening with all the girls. But since divorcing Kris and stepping out on her own and having her sex change, Caitlyn has really become the poster child for trans people coming into the mainstream media. I think Caitlyn would like to see herself as a spokesperson for trans people, but I think because of her Republican background and her political leanings, she's a very vocal Trump supporter. This is a difficult relationship that sometimes has with the LGBTQI community because I think often her political views don't represent what a lot of LGBTQI people feel. And so it's really fascinating to me to see where Caitlyn is headed as she comes into her own in this sort of second part of her life. Certainly she has been promoted very heavily by the show as being an insider for Hollywood gossip. So all the clips we've seen of Caitlyn have been talking about Kanye, sharing gossip about OJ Simpson and Nicole and the murder. In Australia, that's really how they're pitching her, as somebody who's going to give us the inside scoop. But I think there's something much more complex going on there as we're watching Caitlyn sort of navigate a new lifestyle and a new community and how that community feels about her. I think that's going to be really fascinating, and I feel like there might even be a bit of a dual commentary that goes on with what's happening on the show versus how people who are watching on social media are responding to Caitlyn in maybe different ways to what the show might expect.
Yes, and I think the interesting thing too, because the show is pre-taped, that there may be interaction on social media between the audience and the VIPs themselves, unlike a normal Big Brother where the players are blissfully unaware of what the commentary is. I think these VIPs in particular will be very aware of what the commentary is. It'll be very interesting to see what engagement they get. Yeah,
absolutely. The same goes for our next VIP, who is Thomas Markle Jr. What Thomas Markle Jr. is doing on Australian Big Brother VIP, unclear.
Hard to know.
And what his credentials are, also very unclear. Essentially, Thomas Markle Jr. is what you think. He's the brother of the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle. So he's the full brother of Samantha, who's the one that we see always saying nasty things about her sister in the tabloids. He's 2 years younger than Samantha, so he and Meghan have the same father that did not end up walking down the aisle. His occupation is that he is a window fitter. And it appears like his only reason to be on the show is to dish dirt on Meghan. Again, the teasers we're getting for him are very much about saying nasty things about her, talking about her being toxic, boasting about how he warned Prince Harry against marrying her. And so it seems like he's been thrown in the house to give us the inside scoop into the rest of the controversial Markle family and how they really feel, as if we weren't sure already, about their now famous sister.
Now, we do want this this podcast and the whole series to be light and positive, but I must say, Thomas Markle, I do not know what he's doing in the house, but I suppose we'll find out by watching. He has an Instagram following of 1,135.
Yes,
I'll just leave that there.
Yes. Yeah. I think you're right. Let's move on.
And of course, full disclosure, my Instagram following is, around about 100. So, I don't speak as someone with a great following myself. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Say that we will see how he goes. And move on to an absolute superstar of the reality genre, although she hasn't done a lot. She is so well known. I would be surprised if Australians didn't know who she was. Omarosa.
Omarosa is somebody that I think the only reason to not know her is you would really need to be very old school reality TV. So when we were talking earlier about Big Brother Phase One, Omarosa is right back in those days in the early 2000s. She was made famous because of that very first season of The Apprentice with Donald Trump, which ended up being won by Bill Rancic. But I think in some ways she was the star of that show. Everybody knew her and everybody talked to her. And she was the contestant everybody loved to hate because she was so confrontational, aggressive, disruptive, and also a little bit deluded. Her perception of reality is quite different typically to other contestants and other people around her. And we've seen those traits come again and again and again with Omarosa. She has been on quite a few, not lots, but a few different reality TV shows, including in 2018, she made it to the final five of Celebrity Big Brother US. If you haven't been watching reality TV for that long, so you don't have that back history of her, she still made it into the mainstream media because in 2017, she joined President Trump's White House team, even though she had very publicly declared herself to be a staunch Hillary Clinton supporter. And then in 2018, she left her job at the White House very abruptly. CNN reported that she'd been fired, but she maintains that she chose to quit and she left under her own guise. And she's since published a book about that time called Unhinged. Who is unhinged in this situation? You need to read the book to find out for yourself. But she's certainly a very, very controversial figure. And apparently Mamma Mia has reported that she commanded an appearance fee. She commanded an appearance fee of $450,000 to be on Big Brother VIP. So we're certainly expecting a lot of fireworks from Omarosa because she's never one to sit quietly in the corner.
I think she's rather magnificent, and while I would love to see an entirely Australian cast of VIPs, I'm very happy to open Big Brother's hotel to Omarosa. She was fantastic on Big Brother Celebrity US in 2018, and her view of herself is just marginally different from everybody else's view of her in a way that is incredibly entertaining and not in that dodo way that we sometimes see. Her poise, her elegance, her clothes, her self-confidence is something that we could perhaps all take a few leaves out of. Not the whole book, just a few leaves. But her Instagram following is 69,000, nice, and a Twitter following of 134,000.
Yes, she'll be fascinating. I mean, she's just entertaining. Whatever situation you drop her into, there's sure to be controversy. the people will have opinions about it, and I love that about her. So I think it's going to be, I'm really, really excited to have her back on my TV screen.
Same. Should we move on to Jessica Power?
So I do not watch MAFS, Married at First Sight. I watched the very early seasons 1 and 2 and then haven't really watched it since. But even I, as somebody who does not watch MAFS, know quite a bit about Jessica Power. She's from season 6 and she was the biggest and most controversial contestant on the show. She was married to Mick, but then she had an affair with another cast member whose name was Dan. So she and Dan stayed together after the show, but they split a few months later live on the Talking Married After Show, where the show showed footage of her flirting with a third person from the cast, and that was enough for Dan to say, that's it, we're breaking up. So she's very regularly in the tabloid media for short and tumultuous relationships that often end in very messy public breakups that are shared all over social media. And she's also very famous for her multiple plastic and cosmetic surgery procedures that she likes to share on her social media. And she has said that since being announced as part of this Big Brother VIP cast, that the notorious playboy and ex-cricketer Shane Warne has slipped into her DMs with some inappropriate messages. So she's somebody that people are very aware of because she seems to be... The media loves to portray her very controversially, and she gets a lot of media attention because of that. The Herald Sun reported this week that she has said she's going to move to the UK to pursue reality TV over there because she's just been so hounded by the media here. But undoubtedly, I think she, like Omarosa or some of those other big personalities, is going to bring a lot of fireworks into the Big Brother house. So I think she will be fascinating to watch, and I imagine we will be talking about her quite a lot.
I think so too. In fact, on her Instagram stories, she left for the UK a day ago. So whether she actually did or whether that was a story, let's find out. She did do a rather plaintive little Instagram post, which I shall read parts of. I've kept the story about my life very private and close to my chest until now, she says. She's a reality TV star that hasn't told us that much. She says, you all know me for being this confident, over-the-top, outrageously opinionated woman, but what you'll see unfold as I share more is that it's all just an act to hide how really insecure and sensitive I am, and so that people hopefully won't see how truly broken certain parts of my childhood and growing up has left me. I'm intrigued to see this revelation. This is me now, back to me now, commentating. I like the outrageous, opinionated girl. I think we do see the insecurity behind that, Jessica, and we love you for all of it. So I'm very interested to see how she's going to go into the house. Her leaving for the UK on the eve of the broadcast of the show, I hope that doesn't have a meaning that it could have.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, I think... Sometimes the problem with the tabloids liking you so much is that really it can there can be a lot of backlash and a lot of hate that some of these reality TV stars get. So I hope that the Big Brother house is a place where she's able to get a bit of space and share her story in her way and in the way that she wants, rather than in the way that the media wants to portray her. But we'll only know by watching. So watch this space.
Yeah, and I can only quote Jessica herself, please be kind. So there we are.
That's exactly right, exactly right. So on to our last VIP, who was, of course, my favourite, and I'd be surprised if he wasn't your favourite too, Sarah, Luke Tokey. This is our favourite creeping survivor from season 2 and season 4, Champions versus Contenders. He is, of course, a great friend of the winner of season 2, Jericho, also a great friend of All-Stars winner, the Golden God, David Janat, and great friend and co-talking tribal host with our own RHAP, Shannon Gus. Luke is such a lovable arrogant, always makes for excellent TV, so funny, so self-depreciating, but also quite the strategist. He's probably the most famously known for those who don't watch reality TV, because after he lost Champions versus Contenders, he was still gifted $500,000 in crowdfunding money from fans. And all the money that went above the $500,000, he donated to charity. So he's an excellent person, really funny, interesting to watch, loves to encourage drama in the other players. So very, very happy to have him back on my screen.
I couldn't agree more. He is my secret favourite. Well, no longer secret now. I'm telling everybody about it. I think that he understands his job, which at the moment is to be on television. This is a fly-in, fly-out worker from West Australia with a family, and he went on Survivor literally to win money for his family, which he did do with the crowdfunding. And he is going everywhere that he's asked to on television, and I think good for him. He is catching his celebrity at the right time. We don't know him in person, but he seems to be remaining himself, which is a wonderful dry, almost a Tyson Apostle-esque. And I'm really excited to see him in the house, stirring up trouble, as you say, for the other contestants while remaining squeaky clean. So Luke and Ellie are my two picks, as it were. I don't know how far they'll go, but they're certainly the ones that I would put my chips on, mostly for my heart rather than my head.
I'm definitely right behind Luke, and I quite like Bernard too. I think Bernard might be able to sneak in there in the background if he knows how to play against the bigger personalities and just stay a little bit quiet, a little bit more of the peacemaker, sort of everybody's friend. So they're probably the two that I'm backing.
We'll see as we go, certainly. Yes, so we'll be following all the VIPs in their hotel stay. I was quite excited about the season, and now having talked it through with you, Amy, I have to say I'm twice as excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see how this is going to turn out. I don't think this will be a quiet, boring season. I think it's going to be full of ups and downs and controversial moments. And I particularly love watching these kind of shows live on Twitter in real time to see how the audience is reacting. So I think it's going to be super fun episodes.
Elsewhere on RHAP, Amy and Hayley are going to be following the new Bachelorette season.
Amy, a different Amy.
I'm sorry. Yes. I got so excited.
That's not me.
These are they were the very first co-hosts on the RHAP network, and they've been covering the busiest year in Bachelor Nation history, apparently, the Bachelorette for the first time ever. There were two Bachelorette seasons in 1 year, and this second one is starring Michelle Young, premiered in the US on October the 19th. Apparently that's Tuesdays on the ABC. Look, I love following these girls. You get their takes on romance and roses and who's there for the right reasons and whether there are right reasons. And the great thing is you don't actually have to watch the show to follow these two on their wrap up. So I'm really excited for that season to start. You can follow me at Sarah Carradine to find out what else I'll be doing. And what about you, Amy? Where can people follow you and what else are you up to?
Sure. So in my other life, I also write children's books. So if you're a teacher, if you have young kids in your life, nieces, nephews, your own children, or you just like books, you can purchase my children's books. I've got three of them out there. They're perfect Christmas presents. And you can find out more about me at Survivor Tragic on Twitter.
Awesome. All right, everyone, that'll do it for our pre-season coverage of this very exciting and potentially scandalous season coming up. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.